Bible says, you know, perhaps a book that you're over familiar with, maybe never read at all, or taken the opportunity to do so, offer you a copy of, well, it's an extract from the Bible, yours to take freely, read to yourself if you will. Of course, we reveal to you the Savior, the one, of course, whom well, we all need, because as the Bible says, we all, like sheep, we've gone astray, wandered, as it were, our own paths. Reason, of course, why God calls you to repentance, to turn from your ways, forsake your thinking, your ways, and to return to the ways of the Lord God, that is, the true and living God, the one whom you and I and everybody else knows exists, because he has made it plain to you, shown it to you, and you even understand it. You may deny it, you may suppress that truth, but it remains nonetheless. You may use evolution, the lie, which of course, well, God says in his word in the Bible, that is exactly what suppressors of the truth have done. They have exchanged the truth for a lie, and their thinking has become futile, moronic, really is what's being said. So you see, we all need a Savior. Jesus Christ, who suffered, who died, and who rose again from the dead, in order to bring salvation, in order to deliver us from the wrath to come. Consequences, full-blown consequences of your sinful nature, life course, and of course, unless you repent, unless you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you shall not be saved. Except you repent, Jesus says, you shall all likewise perish. But of course, a good man comes, the only good man who ever came, who ever graced the face of this earth. You have to wonder to yourself, why was it that he suffered so much? You know, we see evil, violent, wicked men about us all the time. And of course, you yourself are termed by God to be, in your unbelief, to be a wicked person, because that really is what unbelief amounts to. But here we have a person, the loveliest person that ever graced the face of this earth, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, and yet he suffered so much. All the way through his life, the hands of men, wicked, cruel men, who tormented, harassed, chased, and who eventually, of course, drove them down to death. We get a good person, you see, and that's what we do. That's the wickedness of human nature, you know. You get somebody who is actually righteous, you get someone who is actually good, and who actually performs good, does good, shows kindness to others, and what do we do with them? We take them and we nail them to a cross. That's the perversity. That's the perversity of human nature. That's the perversity of sin. Your sin and mine both. But what evil was it that he was guilty of? Well, his enemies, the Jews, who of course harassed him all the way through his life and ministry. They, of course, they thought he was getting his just desert, because the Bible, the Old Testament of the Bible, does say that anyone who has hung on a tree is cursed of God. So they made the assumption or the presumption, well, there he is hanging on a cross, so he must needs be getting his just deserts. He must needs be cursed of God. Of course, he was smitten of God. That's the truth. And of course, the Bible tells us that clearly, plainly. But of course, God was not smiting him. God had not cursed him because of anything that he had done, because he deserved it. He was smitten of God for our offenses, yours, because of your perversity, your wickedness, your unbelief, your commandment breaking, thieving, stealing, lying, adulterating, fornicating, sodomizing, all the sins of mankind, the sins of the world were laid upon Jesus Christ upon that cross. That's why he was suffering. That's why he was smitten of God. Not because he had done wrong. In fact, the very opposite. He was and is the sinless Son of God. He never did wrong. The only man who ever graced this earth, who ever and always did that which was right and suffered for it. Of course, he was hated and persecuted, and of course assumed that as a result of the crucifixion, assumed of course that he was guilty, but he was not. Spotless sin of God, Son of God, in him there is no sin. He was the righteousness of God, and he was made sin for us in order that you might be made the righteousness of God in him. Because that's the only way that a person, a man or woman, turned to be a foolish sheep in the eyes of God, who has gone astray from God and wandered to their own pathways, the only way they can be brought back to God, the only way the lost sheep can be saved, is through the Good Shepherd, the one who came to lead them back to God, the one who came to rescue, to save from the folly, the foolishness of sin, the perversity of sin, guilt of mankind, for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. The entire human race. He was the only man who ever was good. None good, says God. No, not one. None who seeks after God. None. What can I do for you, sir? Huh? None good, says God, no, not one. None righteous, altogether get out of the way and become unprofitable. None good, only God is good. Only God. Not you, not I, not anyone else. Only God and Jesus Christ, the only good man that ever walked the face of this earth. Of course, you profess goodness. You say God ought to allow you into his heaven because you're a good person. Well, put it to the test. Put it to the test this afternoon. Your perceived goodness. You ever told a lie? How many? How many thousands? Millions, maybe. Huh? No liar shall ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever stolen anything, big or small? Doesn't matter whether you've robbed a bank or stolen a sweetie from a shop. You're a thief. You're a thief and a robber. And no thief shall ever enter my heaven, says God. You ever lusted after the opposite sex? Jesus says, you've already committed adultery in your heart. Nothing unclean will ever enter my heaven, says God. So there goes your perceived goodness, you see. As God says, there is none good, no, not one. The whole human race, to its extent, universally, one common denominator that binds all of us together. We have the same parents, Adam and Eve, who brought sin into the world and begot children in their own likeness, their own sinful likeness. And that sinful nature is passed on through the generations. Right to this day, sinful men and women, by nature and by practice too. And that, friends, is what you need to be saved and delivered from. And it's only the sinless Son of God, the suffering Jesus, one who bled and died on Calvary's cross, who can save you from the perversity of your nature, perversity of your sin, and bring you back to God. Jesus, you see, was and is God's appointed Savior, the gift of God. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through our Lord Jesus Christ. He is termed in the Bible as the inexpressible gift of God, God's Son Jesus Christ, given to the world, given up to the death of the cross, so that men and women might believe and be saved. For God so loved the world, He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have life. But only through Jesus, only one way. It's an exclusive message. It excludes Islam, it excludes Buddha, it excludes Confucius, it excludes Romanism, it excludes all other religions, sects and cults. One way and one way only, through God's Son, Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth and the life. No man comes to the Father, no one gets right with God, that is, but by me. No other name under heaven by which a person might be saved, only through the name of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on Him and you be saved. You repent of your sin and believe the gospel. Entrance into the kingdom of God is yours. Kingdom of God is at hand, says Jesus. Repent and believe the gospel. You see, He died to make satisfaction for God's justice, something that you could never do yourself. I mean, ask yourself the question. I mean, what could you possibly offer to God? What could you possibly bring to God that would satisfy His justice? You know, for all your sin, your sinful nature, your sinful practices, you know, in thought and word and deed, everything about you is walking, breathing, clouded with sin. Everything you do, even the very best things that you do, even the most loving, caring, compassionate things you do, they're all of them clouded with sin, because that's what you are, all you are, just walking, breathing, talking sin, from the top of your head to the tip of your toes, nothing but sin. So what could you possibly offer to God that would satisfy His divine justice for what you are and for what you've done? You bring your works to Him, the best of your works, He says, are like filthy rags, your righteousnesses, like a menstrual cloth, He won't touch it. He's of purer eyes than to behold the evil, says God itself. So you see, you have nothing at all that would satisfy God's justice, nothing you could do, even if you could work religiously or otherwise, for 1,000,000,000 years, you could never pay off the debt that you owe. You could never satisfy God's justice. Jesus Christ did that when He died on the cross. He paid the price in full, you see, for all those who were just in him. For the foolish sheep who have gone astray, wandered to their own pathways, got themselves lost in the darkness of sin and in the evil and wickedness of iniquity and rebellion against the Most High God. Jesus Christ, his blood sacrifice, his atoning sacrifice alone, you see, can make satisfaction for God's justice. He paid the price. Unless you believe, unless you trust, stop trusting in what you do. Forsake your own righteousness and trust in Jesus Christ and what he did, what he accomplished on the cross. You cannot be saved. He died, you see, to save men and women from the penalty of their sins. Wages of sin is death. Always has been and always will be, right to the very end of the age. Spiritual death, already separated from God as a result of your iniquities, your sins. They have separated you from God. That's why you don't know him. That's why you have no communion, fellowship with God. You cannot do so, because you're separated. There's a breach between you and God. You're dead in your sins and in your trespasses, without the life of God in your soul. Spiritual death, then, of course, that's followed. Eventually, sooner or later, it comes to everyone. Then comes the physical death. It is appointed for man to die once. No escaping that, is there? It's the wages of sin, you see. All the advances of medical science, technology, they'll never overcome the fact of death, because it's the judgment of God. It's the punishment of God. It's the curse of God upon the human race because of its sin. Because sin, you see, is the cause. When somebody dies, you see, it's not just an accident. It's not just a shame. Oh, he's died, you know. She's died. People die because God has judged them. It's sin's wages. And it comes to everybody. The wages of sin is death, people. That's the curse. That's the punishment for sin. That's sin's wages. Spiritual death. Physical death. Oh, but you say, well then, that'll be the end of it at least. No, that's not what God says. He says, it is appointed for man to die once, and after this then comes the judgment. No one, you see, has ever come back to tell us from the dead, to tell us what it's like. Yes, they have. Jesus Christ did. And he came back and he tells you, death is not the end. Physical death is not the end. Then follows the second death. If you have not repented and believed the gospel, believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, and trusted him through his shed blood to make satisfaction for your sins, in the face of divine justice, you shall perish in your sin, faced with the second death, the lake of fire, eternal death, eternal separation from God in the damnation of hell. The wages of sin is death, threefold, spiritual, physical, and then of course eternal. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. But God chose his son. God is the chosen, Jesus Christ is God's chosen Redeemer, chosen and appointed by God to suffer, to make atonement for sin. So if he is God's choice, what does that say about your choice of religion, your choice of lifestyle? Some of you would choose Islam, some of you would choose Buddhism, some of you would choose some other world religion. Nothing but idolatry. Nothing but unbelieving, ungodly idolatry. Every ounce of it. God has His chosen and appointed Savior, Jesus Christ, as the only way back to Himself, no other way. You refuse God's choice for your choice, that spells eternal damnation for you. That spells lostness forever for you. There's only one way. God has chosen the way. God has appointed the way. It's not for you to choose the way that you think is best, the way that you think is right. There's a way that seems right to man, God says, but the end of it is death. Again, spiritual death, physical death, eternal death, the wages of sin, choosing your own way. We all, like sheep, have gone astray, wander to our own pathways, the way that you think is right, the way that seems right to you, but wrong, because it's not God's chosen and appointed way. Jesus is God's chosen and appointed way, and He alone. You forsake Jesus, you reject Jesus, you reject God, the kingdom of God, the forgiveness of God, the mercy, the kindness of God, the life of God, the love of God. You reject all the privileges and all the blessings that God has for a person. You reject heaven. You reject heaven's glory for the damnation of hell. Jesus Christ, the suffering servant of God, the crucified and risen Redeemer, He is God's chosen and appointed Savior to save sinners. The Bible tells us the very purpose, the reason for Christ's coming into the world. Christ Jesus came into the world, says the Bible, to save sinners, not to make you religious, not to make you religious, but to save, to rescue people from a certain and known danger, out of the danger within the hearts of every single one of you. Sin. Your sinful nature, your sinful life, sinful practice, to save you from that sin as no other can. And how? By taking their sins upon Himself on the cross. The Bible says He was wounded for our transgressions, smitten of God, not because of what He had done, not because He was wrong, not because He had sinned. He was there bearing the sins of the world on His own body on the cross, dying for the sins of others, paying the price that you should have paid, dying the death that's yours, taking the place, substitutionary atonement it's called, Jesus Christ dying for sinners. Sin of the world was laid upon Him, filthy, clotted with the sin, sins, the vomit of your sin and mine, covers the Son of God on the cross to such an extent His Father can no longer look upon Him, but turns from Him, walks away from Him, and He cries after Him, my God, why have you forsaken me? The answer to that question is, so that you might not be forsaken, that you might repent and believe, that you might be reconciled to God, that your alienation from God might be healed, restored to God, to the favor of God, by the grace of God, the kindness of God, compassion of God, revealed in His Son, Jesus Christ, who bore the weight of the world's sin upon His own shoulders on that cross. He died, He bore the sins of the world. He made peace with God. But that peace has to be received by you voluntarily, willingly, consciously, deliberately, in faith. That peace has to be received. And you receive peace with God when you receive His Son in faith, when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. To as many as received Him, to them He gave the right, the authority, the power to become children of God, to become that which they are not. You're not born a child of God, not a child of God by creation. You only become a child of God when you repent of your sin and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Then, and then alone, will you be a member of God's family through the work of Jesus Christ on the cross. Jesus died, you see, in order to deliver men and women from that death. That death, you see, that sin incurs. That spiritual death, physical, eternal death. Why will you die, says God? I take no pleasure in the death of the wicked, he says, but rather that they should turn and live. Turn, 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 he says. Why will you die? Why will you perish in your sin when there's a Savior, when there's one who, in love, compassion, mercy, kindness, one who bore your sins on a cross, that you might be delivered from death, that you might be brought back from death, that you might be brought to life, eternal life, life abundant. This Jesus says is what I came for, that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly in all its fullness. Turn out. You would describe your life today in the midst of the misery, the torment of sin. To call yourself eternally happy, to call yourself holy, call yourself godly. It's where happiness comes from. The happiness, I mean, that doesn't evaporate. The happiness that doesn't go away when your circumstances change. It doesn't go away when poverty comes. It doesn't go away because you haven't got ale in your belly or drugs in your veins. Happiness that comes from knowing God and knowing His Son, Jesus Christ, is called eternal life. Happiness from knowing that your sins are forgiven. Happiness from knowing that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That how you would term yourself today, happy, a happy person, happy in Jesus all the day long. Happiness, people, happiness is not your right. Oh, I've got a right to be happy, people tell me. No, you haven't. The only right you've got is to misery. The only right you've got is to eternal misery. The only right you've got is to the torment of sin, because that's what you've chosen to walk in. That's what you've chosen to live in. You love the vomit of your sin. You love the vomit of your uncleanness. You live and wallow in it day by day. You watch it in your television screens. You read about it in your books. You watch it in your movies. You wallow in the filth and the muck and the mire of your sin and iniquity. Happiness? A right to happiness? No, you don't. The only right you've got is to eternal damnation. Unless you repent. Except you repent and believe the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you, you'll perish in that eternal misery. Only one who can make you happy, everlastingly happy, is Jesus, who came into the world to deliver you from the death of sin. But here's the greatest transfer that ever was made. They tell me that today is the transfer deadline, you know, with these ungodly footballers with all their riches. Well, here I tell you today about the greatest transfer that ever was made. Jesus Christ crucified for sinners, in the place of sinners, substituted for those who will believe on His name. substituted for those who, whom God has chosen from before the foundation of the world to believe in Jesus. You're one of them. Well, will you believe? Will you repent? Will you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? Will you have your sin transferred from off of your back onto Jesus Christ? Did He bear your sins in His own body on the cross? Was He paying the price for your sins? Well, we'll know, won't we? You'll know, won't you? You'll know the answer to that question. Will you believe? Will you receive? Will you take Jesus to be your Savior? You reject Him, then the answer is no. And you carry on rejecting Him to the end of your course, the end of your life. Then, of course, the answer is emphatically no. But He died, you see, to save you from the ruin of sin. Sin's a great ruin, isn't it? Ruins your body, ruins your mind, rots your mind, you know. The drugs, the alcohol, the immorality, the uncleanness, you know, the diseases, the rotten diseases that you've got amongst you today, a shame and a disgrace to you as a nation, filthy diseases, women that can't bear children because they're rotten with these diseases. It's a wonder. It's a wonder that you can't see it for yourself. What ruin. Sin brings men and women to poverty. It breaks their health. You know, it has its own recompense in this world. Never mind the world to come. But of course, one day, yes, it will ruin your body. It'll be full of disease one way or another. It'll bring you down to death. But then, of course, it will ruin you for all eternity unless you repent. Unless you repent and believe the gospel. He, Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin for us so that you might be made the righteousness of God in Him. What a transaction. What a deal. What a transfer. There never was one like it. You were never made such an offer, such a free offer as this. Jesus Christ taking your place, taking your sin, taking your ruin, taking your eternal damnation, and allowing you to walk away free, a free man, a free woman. The Son shall make you free, He says in the Bible. You shall be free indeed, completely free, through the suffering servant of God, Jesus Christ. Because Jesus, He is the only and sufficient Savior, sufficient for all your needs. You got Jesus. You got Jesus, you got everything. You got Jesus, you got no need for nothing. You haven't got Jesus, you haven't got nothing. You might be the richest man in Nottingham. Matters not a whit. You got nothing, people, without Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, all sufficient. Beyond telling is Thy worth. In Thy name lies greater treasures than all the riches found on earth. Such abundance is my portion with my God, says the hymn writer. The all-sufficient Savior, sufficient for all of your needs, and who excludes none from His salvation. Only those who exclude themselves by their unbelief, by the rejection of the gospel, came to His own, but His own received them not. Comes to people today through the proclamation of the gospel, and they receive Him not either. They reject Him and they go on rejecting Him foolishly to the end of their course. And of course the result is they're lost. They're lost for all eternity. because they excluded themselves from God's salvation. That all you see, whose sin was laid upon Jesus Christ, He freely justifies from all things. He does, you see, what keeping God's commandments, being religious, being morally upright, being respectable can't do. He did by His death on the cross. He did, you see, what nothing and no one else could do for you. Justify you. Make you right with God. To justify someone or something is to make it right, you see. And it's because you're not right with God that you need to be made right with God. You need to be justified. But a person can only be justified, made right with God, through faith in God's Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. But Jesus, you see, justifies completely and freely by His blood, you see, all who come to Him, all who come to God through Him. He says, the Bible says, to the uttermost, all those who come to God through Him. He is able to bear the worst of your sins, the greatest of your sins, no matter what they be in number, and no matter how vile and how rotten they might be, able to save to the uttermost all those who come to God through Him. Wherever you've been sleeping, wherever you've been sleeping with, whatever disgraceful and disgusting things you have lying in your past, whatever shape or form your sin takes, He is able to justify you completely and freely before God. If you will but take Him, if you will but believe on His name, you shall be saved. So you see, people, all have sinned, all are guilty before God, all strayed, all like sheep we've wandered our own pathway, you see, right from the very beginning, born in sin, conceived in sin in your mother's womb, a natural born sinner, a natural born God hater, hostile to God in your mind. That's the natural state and condition of men and women. And so therefore naturally turn to sin, turn to unbelief, lest a man, you see, is born again, unless, you see, God changes that nature. That's why Jesus says, a man must be born again. Unless God changes your nature, you see, you'll never desire God. You'll never desire the things of God. You'll never desire the holiness of God. You'll never desire the Word of God. You'll never desire the salvation of God. You'll never desire anything of God until that is you've been born again. Born, that is, of God's Spirit, made a new creature in Jesus Christ altogether, you see. Then, of course, with your heart changed, your desires too will change as well. And then you'll desire the things, you'll love the things that you should love and hate the things that you should hate. But for now, you see, you remain in your sin, alienated from God, far away from God, straight into sin's dark path. But there is a way back to God. God sent His Son Jesus into the world that through Him you might be restored to God's favor. It's called grace, you see. It's called the unmerited favor of God. Unmerited because, well, you don't deserve it, you see. You don't merit it of yourself. Nobody does. Nobody. Not the best and not the worst of you. Nobody deserves it. It's grace, you see. God offers to you what you don't deserve, you see. He offers you salvation. He offers you life. He offers you mercy instead, of course, of punishment, eternal judgment. Alienated from God, and of course, well, your best interest, you see, is to be reconciled to God. So therefore I implore you here this afternoon to be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ, through God's Son. The Bible, of course, was given to you for this very reason, that you might know that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that you might have life in His name. The reason for the writing of and the giving to you of God's Word of the Bible. Again, not religion, but from start to finish, beginning to end, it's about a person, it's about God's Son, Jesus Christ, who would come into the world, die and rise again from the dead, to make reconciliation in order that men, that their greatest and deepest need might be met, and that is, of course, to be reconciled to God. You may claim that you have greater needs than this today, but I argue with you, I defy you. Man's greatest need in any day, any generation, is to be reconciled to God. If God is against you, what have you got going for you? The whole world might agree with you, but if God's against you, what good is that? But if God is for you, who can be against you? The Bible poses the question. If you've got God on your side, doesn't matter if the whole world's against you. Be reconciled to God. Even today, repent and believe the gospel. Sin, you see, is an affront to God. All sin is an affront to God. Turning to your own way, like the lost sheep, the way that seems right to you, people, sin, breaking of God's commandments, reflecting the image of Satan instead of the image of God. You're a man, you're a woman, first made in the image of God, but now, of course, that's gone. Clean gone. Now you reflect the image of God's enemy. When you lie, you're reflecting the image of Satan. He's the father of lies, murderer from the beginning, says Jesus. When you do the adultery, when you do the uncleanness, you're saying that God is unfaithful and unclean. And He's not. He's the purest of pure. And He's the faithful of faithfulness. You see, you reflect the wrong image in your sinful state and condition. You are made to reflect the image of God. And unless, of course, you repent and believe the gospel, turn to God's Son, Jesus Christ, and be restored to the favor of God, and have the image of God restored in you, then only, of course, will you love God's commandments, seek to keep God's commandments, though not perfectly, but seek to keep them with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind. Love God and the things of God. Love your neighbor. People ask me, they say, when will the violence and the killing in this world, when will it come to an end? When man makes his peace with God, and not until. How can there be peace in the world? How can there possibly ever be peace in the world, as long as man's at war with God? How can there be peace in your homes? How is that possible when you're at war with God? How can there be peace in your own heart, in your own life, as long as you're at war with God, at enmity against God? sinful mind is hostile to God. You see, you're either a natural born God hater or a supernatural born God lover. It's one of the two. Nothing in between. You're either for me or against me. You're either in or you're out, Jesus says. So which is it going to be? Repent, believe the gospel, be saved, be right with God, justified freely from all things, your sin laid upon Jesus, trusting in the crucified and risen Redeemer to deal with your sin and bring you back to God from those wandering pathways. All we like sheep have gone astray and wandered into our own pathways and your own way, you see. Well, God calls you from that. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts, because your thoughts and your ways are the wrong ways, says God. You need to start thinking God's thoughts after him. You find them in the Bible and in the Bible alone. And of course it's then when you start to think God's thoughts after him, when you begin to rationalize with a Bible in your hand, come now, says the Lord, and let us reason together, rationalize together, you thinking with a Bible in your hand, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. When you begin to think God's thoughts after him, align your mind to God's mind, you begin to think right for the first time in your life, clothed in your right mind, you know, and sitting at the feet of Jesus, intelligent and able to discern that which is the right way, God's way, through his Son Jesus Christ. But of course the salvation that Jesus Christ has procured for sinners is only efficient for those who believe. Totally inefficient, of no value whatsoever to unbelief. No value whatsoever if you remain in your chosen pathway, your way, the way of sin, the way of atheism, the way of darkness, the way of godlessness, the way of evolutionism, the way of Islam, the way of Romanism, the way of Buddhism, the way of Confucianism, the way of world religion. There is no way back to God through those means. The efficiency of the cross of Jesus Christ and his blood shed on that cross is only made efficient, you see, only made effective in your heart, your mind, your life, when you believe, when you turn from your sin, repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. God laid the iniquity of the world upon Jesus Christ, his Son. He consented to that in loving kindness, in love for sinners such as you. He consented to that. He went to that cross. Nobody forced him. Nobody made him go. He volunteered to, in love for sinners such as you and I. He volunteered, he lovingly volunteered to leave heaven's glory and to come into this sin-cursed world and to suffer and to die and to bear the sin of the world upon himself on that cross. He consented to that. So that you might consent to be saved. So that you, in a day of God's power, that you might turn from your sin, repent of your sin, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and be saved. Know God's salvation and eternal life. And just as Jesus Christ himself voluntarily surrendered himself to the death of the cross to take the sin of the world upon himself, to pay that debt himself. So too you must come to that place of willingly, voluntarily submitting. Some of you foolishly ask me for it. You say to me, give me evidence that God is. Prove to me you see that God is. No, I won't. You don't need proof that God exists. You know that God exists. He has shown it to you. He has made it plain to you. You even understand it. You know that God is. I will not prove it to you. You don't need that. What you need is to consent. What you need is to submit yourself to Almighty God in repentance and faith towards His Son, Jesus Christ. Then you will know the truth. Then you will acknowledge all the knowledge that you need that God will afford you. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Jesus Christ did the will of His Father. He did obediently the will of His Father, so that you might be brought into obedience to God. Because you see, that's the only pathway to happiness. Trust and obey. Trust and obey. There's no other way but to be happy in Jesus, but to trust and obey. No other way, people, to eternal life, eternal love, eternal happiness, joy, the mercy, the peace of God, and the gospel, the good news concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ. Oh, it is good news indeed. Good news, that is, for perishing sinners. Good news for those who see themselves as God sees them. You look in the mirror, what do you see? The fairest of them all? That's what it tells you. Same lie every day, every morning. You're the fairest of them all. But of course, all it sees is the outward image, not the inward. Hello, sir. How you doing?
Man's crying in the wilderness.
Aye, that's it.
You don't want to upset you. I know you keep going.
Amen. Amen, sir. Thank you for your encouragement, sir. God bless you. It only shows you the outward image. But you look into the mirror of God's Word, and you'll see the real self. You'll see the inside, not just the hairdo, the makeup, and the clothes. You'll see into your heart. It may scare, it may frighten you to begin with, when you find out what's there. Heart deceitful and desperately wicked above all things, says God. Heart full of poison, heart full of sin. Heart that's sick and desperately wicked, says God. That's the state and condition of every single one of you. And that's why you need the cross. That's why you need God's Son. That's why you need the suffering servant. That's why you need God's chosen Redeemer. God's chosen way. There is no other, you see. Because there was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. Yes, he was smitten of God. He was smitten of God. Hanged on a tree, smitten of God. But not because he had done wrong. Not because he had sinned. Because you and I, because we've got hearts that are desperately wicked and deceitful. Sinful hearts that need to be cleansed. Hearts that need to be changed. Hearts that need to be made new. Right with God. Justified freely by His blood. Bloodshed in Calvary's cross. So submission, people. Consent. Consent, that's what's required of you. To raise the white flag and surrender. Surrender yourself to God. Was a man, came from God, his name was John, the Bible says. Gentlemen's just reminded me of him. He's got a voice crying in the wilderness. In the wilderness of sin, that's the world. That's the world today. And John, he called men and women to repent. One coming behind me, he said, his shoelaces, I'm not fit to tie. I can baptize you in water, but he'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Stands true today, people. Unless you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, unless you're born again, you'll never understand these things. Never understand the kingdom of God, let alone enter into it. That's what John meant when he said that a man, you know, being baptized in the Holy Spirit, it's a man born again, you see. Man made a new creature in Jesus Christ. New hopes, new desires to please God and not self. But of course, John, he pointed to the Savior. The Lamb of God, he said. Not me, the Lamb of God, he said. It takes away the sin of the world. Point you to myself here this afternoon. Not to me, I can't do anything for you. I can only show you the way. I can only point you in the right direction. I can only tell you the truth as it is in Jesus, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Point you to Him, God's suffering servant, God's smitten Savior, the one who He Himself smote for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him. It's the Lamb of God you need. God's provision, you see, for sinners. God provided Himself with the Lamb. Prophet Moses, the Old Testament, the Bible says, without the shedding of blood there can be no forgiveness of sins. God Himself has provided the blood sacrifice. His own Son, His own chosen suffering servant and smitten Savior, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, His blood shed for sin. Without the shedding of His blood, there could be no offering of salvation. But I can offer you God's salvation today, freely offered to you, because Jesus did come. Because Jesus did die, Jesus did shed His blood, Jesus did rise again from the dead, demonstrating, proving that He is exactly who He claimed to be, the Son of Man, the Son of God with power by His resurrection from the dead. That's why you see the Bible says, declares that Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't say that Muhammad is Lord. Doesn't even mention Him. He's dead and buried and gone to hell. Self-confessed murderer. Says Jesus Christ is Lord. Doesn't say Buddha is Lord. Doesn't say Confucius is Lord. It says Jesus Christ is Lord. Why? Because He overcame sin and death. Rose again from the dead. He's alive forevermore. Why He's Lord. Lord of all reigns throughout the world. And of course every knee, Bible says, shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. I confess His Lordship before you here this afternoon, but the day is coming when you will confess it. Every one of you. You will all of you confess one day. On your bended knees, you will confess with your lips, you will say these words, Jesus Christ is Lord. And you'll do it either as your judge or as your Savior. Which will it be? But one way or another, be assured of this, you will bow the knee to King Jesus and you will confess His Lordship. I pray for you, before I come to you, to declare the Word of God to you, I pray for you, people of Nottingham, regularly. I pray for you before, I pray for you afterwards. I pray that God would give you ears to hear, remove your deafness. I pray that God would take the veil away from your hearts that you might see, give your hearts to believe, that He might work upon your will by His almighty power and give you the will to obey, to do what He requires of you in the gospel, to repent and believe the gospel. I pray for you because I love you. God tells me I'm to love my neighbor, and you're my neighbor. And so I come to you in love. I tell you these things not because I hate you, not because I don't like you. I tell you them because I love you, and because I want you to share heaven with me. I don't want you to be lost. I don't want you to carry on in sin, and I don't want you to face an eternal lostness. Here you are, you're heading towards the precipice. You're walking into the darkness. You don't know where you're going. You're like lost sheep. You're wandering. And you go over that precipice and you fall into damnation. You're lost forever and ever. Your house is on fire. I wonder, this generation of sinners, I wonder, you can't feel the flames of hell licking at your feet already. I wonder that you can't smell the sulfur. You're that close to hell, it's almost as though you can't get to hell quick enough. This generation of sinners, such is the wickedness, such is the evil, such is the depravity of this generation. Surely, there's been none like it. The Bible tells me, people, it's going to get worse, not better, not sometime soon. Worse and worse because sin grows, it develops, it multiplies towards the end of the age. And then, of course, then comes Jesus Christ with His holy angels in flaming fire to take vengeance upon all those that know not God and who obey not the gospel. But of course it's too late then. Too late then. The day of grace, day of salvation is over then. Too late then. Of course then there'll be men and women asking for a Bible that they might read it and believe it. Asking, where's John Street Preacher that I might listen to him? I want to hear his message again. Where's that Jesus? Where's that Savior he spoke about? I need him. Too late, too late. Now is the accepted time, says God. Now is the day of salvation. I see around me people building homes, building houses, bigger and bigger houses, clamoring to get on the mortgage ladder, building homes, adding extensions to them, renovating them. Enough is never enough. You're building homes on earth, but are you building a home in heaven? Are you building a home in heaven? Have you got somewhere to go? Somewhere decent to go when you're finished on this earth, when you die? Where will you spend eternity? In a hellish hovel or a heavenly mansion? Which will it be? Well, that will be determined by what you do with Jesus, God's appointed, chosen Savior, Redeemer, who He smote on that cross, smitten of God, wounded for our transgressions, who came, who was born to die, who lived a sinless, blameless life, was hung on a tree, nailed to a cross, who died that you might live, who took upon Himself the sins of the world, who died in order that you might be redeemed, that you might be restored to God, restored to the image of God, the favor of God, and given the assurance divine assurance of a home in heaven. Can't you see it? You're living in a city of destruction, and you need to flee from it. Get out of it. Get out of your sin and get on the pathway to the celestial city. Whose builder and maker is God. Are you building a home in heaven? Is your faith, is your trust just in bricks and mortar? You're going to leave that behind. You're going to leave it behind for somebody else to fight and squabble over. As to who's going to get it. Divide the spoils. While you're languishing in the torments of an eternal damnation. And all because you never got yourself ready for heaven. All because you never got right with God. All because you never received. All because you never believed in God's chosen and appointed, smitten, wounded Savior, Redeemer, the Son of God who loved sinners and gave Himself for them. All for the want of a Savior, for repenting and believing in Jesus Christ. Well, I offer you a copy of God's Word. You don't have to take my word for these things. Check it out for yourself and see. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jesus that is, shall be saved. Shall be saved. From sin's penalty, its power, its presence. Save. Salvation, people. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved, is the promise of God. It's all here in His Word. You don't need to have the copy. It's offered to you free of charge and without any cost or any obligation to you. Yours to take and do with as you will. It's God's Word. It has the supreme and unique ability to make a man or woman wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus, whom I declare to you, the Lamb of God, God's chosen, appointed, smitten, wounded Savior, who died for sinners in order that they might have life eternal, that they might know the everlasting love and favor of God. You'd like to have a copy of God's Word? It's offered to you, as I say. May God